Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Money and Change. My name is Ira Robinson. As always, we're here with Stu Scheer. Hello, Stu.
Hey, Ira. How you doing this day?
It is not too shabby at all. I can't complain because it wouldn't do me any good anyway.
And besides that, it's cold outside. Welcome to the Midwest, right?
Indeed, indeed. It's a little cold to do much of anything.
Yeah, well, hey, today we're going to talk about one of your favorite topics. What was it? Tide pods
and people that are absolutely insane. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we have a solution for that, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Anyhow, you know, before we get going on moneyandchange.com, check out our website at moneyandchange.weebly.com. And it's got a ton of information there. Some of it we talk about on the show. Some of it we don't. And there's just a ton of information there. So that's moneyandchange.weebly.com. Moneyandchange.weebly.com. Well, you know, before we get going, you know, we always do shout outs. And a big shout out to WCET Columbia Talk. And that's FM 101.7 in Columbia, South Carolina. And we really appreciate WCET for carrying the show. It's been a great, great run on WCET. Also, a big, big shout out to Captain Steve Baum at the University of Findlay. Also, Shana Knack at the University of Findlay, who's the development director, and also to Catherine Fell, who's the president of the university. I had the pleasure of going up to the University of Findlay to see another basketball game this week, and they were fantastic. They beat an opposing team 107-86, and I'll tell you what, it was a fantastic game. I've saw some moves that you don't normally see in college players when they play ball. It was just excellent. So big hats off there. And if anybody wants to find a good university to go to, it's small, but they're very good at basketball. Very good. They have a fantastic basketball history, including being the national champions back in 2009, and that's when they went a perfect season, which was 36-0, and they beat Xavier University, Ohio State University, and Bowling Green University. And that's not bad for a Division II school beating Division I's. So if you want to do that, you want to take a look at www.findlay.edu. Check out the school, and especially you got to take a look at that big College of Business. It is just fantastic up there. And their food court, I swear, is bigger than the gymnasium where they play basketball. It is just humongous. Also, a big shout out to somebody we all know as Papa Bear. Papa's doing a show on L&M Radio Network, and he's also doing it on WCET. And it's called What's Out There, and it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 11 to 12. And he's doing a solo show on WCET. Check him out. That's What's Out There, and it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 11 to 12. Also, we have Show Us, Don't Tell Us, and that's still on Friday nights from midnight until 3 a.m. And you have Skills. You have Mike Bayhouse, and you also have Papa Bear, and they have some pretty good discussions there, and they're also putting out some videos on Facebook. I just noticed one this week, and it was interesting. Normally they don't put out videos, if I remember right. Am I right on that one, Ira?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just something to check out those shows. Also, You know, we got L&M Radio Network and Michael Vera. And we've been doing shows with Mike for 5 years. We started out as just doing a 30-minute show. Then we went to a full hour. And we've been working with him off and on. Plus, we've been doing the show primarily with Ira Robinson. And it's been fun. We have a lot of fun. And it kind of shows in the talk that we have before and after the show. One of these days, who knows, he might record it. You just never know. Also, there's a character at Open Eyes Network. Who's that?
I think it's that Ira guy. He's a jerk, but I don't know. He's all right, I guess.
Oh, he is? He's a jerk?
He can be.
Oh, I didn't know that. Son of a gun.
I think it's the beard. He's
also an author, too.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, if you guys want to check out any of the archives for all of our shows, they're over at our website, openeyesnetwork.com. And if you're interested in anything that I write, I've got a ton of stuff available over on my website, originalworlds.com. I'd love for you guys to check it out.
Check it out. He's got some spooky stuff over there. Trust me. And the artwork. He does the artwork, too.
I do, yep. Yep.
I can't figure out how in the heck you write so many books. I mean, what, you got 11 books now? You're working on 12?
Somewhere around in there, yeah.
Okay, and you can't keep count, and all I can do is the Wrinkle City Gazette. You know, I mean, I can do between 8 and 9 pages, and you just run your fingers through the grinder, you know, and pump stuff out like 5,000 words a day. And
yeah,
I've written about
2,400 words today. So
shame on you.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
You're making me feel guilty. I mean, I've got a writer's complex now, you know, and it takes me a whole month to come up with all of the jokes and color pictures and everything for the Wrinkle City Gazette, which, by the way, is at moneyandchange.weebly.com back in the humor section. And there's also a link to the archive. So in case you missed an issue, you can get them. And of course, the Wrinkle City Gazette is always free. I don't charge for that because who would pay for a bunch of jokes? Anyhow, before we get going here, you know, we always do a disclaimer, and the information contained in this presented material is from the posting of news agencies on the internet and are not necessarily the views or opinions of the owners of this program. We are not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance, on any information contained in this broadcast. The information provided is not offered as financial advice, financial planning, or for investment purposes, so you want to use this information at your own risk. Now, from the currency chart at XE.com, you notice that the dollar got a little bit stronger, even though the stock market kind of had some troubles. The euro suddenly went from $1.25 to $1.22. The Great British Pound went down from $1.42 to $1.38. The Australian dollar dropped to 78 cents. The Canadian dollar dropped to 79 cents. And the Swiss franc dropped down just about a penny to $1.06. And I don't know why the dollar suddenly got stronger when the markets went farther south. It's kind of strange. And maybe in the world of economics, I'll learn about how that works. Of course, it's always on speculation. And you know that in the past, various banks have been charged for rigging the Forex market, the foreign exchange market. Chinese yuan is at 15.8 cents to the U.S. dollar. The Kuwaiti dinar stayed the same at $3.33. The Vietnamese dong. Boy, oh boy, if you were holding dong last week, it was 22,725.21 dong to the dollar. Well, now the Vietnamese dong got stronger. It's 22,694.77 dong to the dollar. The wheelbarrow got lighter. And maybe that's a good sign. We'll just have to wait and see. I'd love to see the Vietnamese dong get to be a nickel to the U.S. dollar. That would be really neat. Because if you're investing in foreign currency and just have some Vietnamese dong right now, it's kind of a joke, you know, not to the Vietnamese people, and I'm not slamming them, but to take 22,694.77 dong just equal a dollar, it's kind of scary. Bitcoin, wow. You know, 7 weeks ago, Bitcoin was $15,234.74 for one Bitcoin. And then it started sliding, and now it's down to $8,234.51. Gee, we had some theft going on and people missing some money. A whole bunch of stuff is going on with Bitcoin. And as we're going to talk about a little bit later on in the show, is about the banks. They're saying, well, Bitcoin may disappear. Did it ever really appear? Can you hold Bitcoin? No. It's only a construct out of a computer algorithm to get a Bitcoin. And you burn up more energy to get that Bitcoin. It's kind of crazy. Gold, it took a drop. Last week it was $1,350.23. It's down to $1,316.52 an ounce. Silver, it took a drop. Last week it was $17.25. And it's now $16.35 an ounce. If it goes much lower, if it gets down into the $15 range, I might consider maybe getting some more, but I have to do my research first on that. Platinum, man, it dropped. It was at $1,006.43 an ounce. Now it's down to $991.50 an ounce. Palladium also took a drop, and it took a bigger drop. Last week it was $1,036.05 an ounce, and now it's down to $997.83 an ounce. I just can't figure out why precious metals jumped that much. And it could be they're rigging the market again. You just have to check that out. Also, Ethereum, last week it was $1,003.61 for one Ether coin, and now it's $828.96. And, you know, I was having lunch with a friend of mine after church today, and she said, "What's all this about Bitcoin?" And I noticed one guy at this table across from us, his head kind of perked up, and I said, "Well, I'm going to talk about that on the radio show today just a little bit." And I said, you know, I really wouldn't get involved in Bitcoin. And like you and I have discussed, Ira, if you can't hold it in your hand and you can't safely store it, then what good is it? And, you know, to have an investment, and let's just say you have one Bitcoin and 7 weeks ago it was worth $15,000. And then all of a sudden it goes down to eight. That's scary to see something drop like that.
And it absolutely can happen.
It did happen, and it's going to happen some more. And I'm going to tell you, we're not over the jump in the markets. Now, let's say you want to go ahead and invest in precious metals. Why precious metals? You can hold them in your hand. You can store them for use later on as barter. You can go ahead with that precious metal, and if you're smart, you can get the 10th ounce gold coins, which would be, I'm going to say, probably about $150 now. And you can get some of those, but then take a look at silver. And, you know, if you go to silver.com right now, gold is $1,318.33. Silver is $16.42, and that's current. So if you go and you take a look at APMEX, silver.com, Kitco, there's a whole bunch of others. You can invest in a good coin, Sometimes they're half ounce, sometimes they're full ounce. Generally, the silver coins or the silver dollars, the American Eagles or the Canadian Maple Leafs are good investments to hold. And, you know, as times get tense and you have a lot of world calamity out there, a lot of people take their paper money and put it into gold and silver. Because in a grid down situation, you can use that to barter with. And, you know, take a look at what would happen if you go to get a pizza and you didn't have the money on you and you went to the ATM. And there was a situation where the ATM was down. Could you buy your pizza? Well, yeah, I could probably put it on credit. Well, what if they didn't take your credit card? You're out of luck. And that can happen. It could happen in a heartbeat. So you want to set some precious metals aside as an investment. And when the prices go back up, you can always sell them off. And some people are saying, well, silver's going to go up sky high if the markets crash. Yeah, probably will. And it's a good investment. But before you do that, you want to pay down your debt. You want to put some money aside, buy some long-term food. And I don't care whether or not you stock up on stuff from Kroger's, Aldi's, or wherever, Giant Eagle, Whole Foods. You know, you want to store backup food for in a calamity. And some people like to get food from like Thrive Life Foods, or they want to go to emergency essentials, or they contact the LDS Church through their Provident Living and get things there, or Honeyville. There's a whole bunch of companies out there that serve freeze-dried foods, not only in the vegetables, but also in meats. But you want to do that. You want to go ahead and get good medicine on him. Do you have a good first aid kit, Ira?
Yeah, we have more than just Band-Aids. We have all different kinds of things in ours. We've got everything from, you know, of course, Band-Aids and larger gauze pads and the adhesives to hold them all together and stuff. But we even have a small sewing kit in there. We've got a small one-pint sized mason jar full of rubbing alcohol to disinfect things. We've got, bottles of things like bacitracin or Neosporin, the kind of topical antibiotics, although we get ours special delivery from a pharmacy down in Mexico. Basically, it's it's an antibiotic cream that's made with penicillin. So we've got that kind of stuff. I mean, we've got a lot of, very useful items in our first aid kits.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
You just don't run to Walmart, Wally World, as we call it here, and get a first aid kit because it doesn't have everything in it.
Right. And actually, we even went so far as to get a small hard case for it as well to protect it, because when you're out in the wilds, you can tend to, strain your backpack and that kind of thing. Throwing it down or whatever, well, if you've got these things in there, they can be easily broken or, you can, unsterilize everything really quickly. So we put it into a smaller hard case, just to keep it all protected on the inside.
Well, when you said you had this jar of alcohol, the first thing that came to my mind was, are you sure it's alcohol, not moonshine?
Yeah, no, it's definitely rubbing alcohol. Although, any kind of really high intensity alcohol can work. You can even throw a bottle of vodka or something like that in there and it would work just as good, Just something that you want to have on hand to disinfect and that kind of thing.
Yeah, especially in or an emergency. You might like the flavor of it too.
Well, yeah, with an emergency, one of the biggest keys to survival is going to be doing things like avoiding infections. One of the biggest problems that the human race has had since the onset was that, just even the smallest infection could lead to killing somebody. So
how about the avoiding politicians.
That definitely would be avoiding the infection. Yeah.
Yeah, that would do it. That would do it. But you know, you want to do that. Make sure you have your medication. Make sure you have suitable clothing. Maybe a tent. You want to have, your medications that you need.
And
a way to purify water, too.
Sure,
that's
a big thing. And one thing I would recommend to toss into the first aid kits, too, for, again, going with the infection idea, is a lot of times when people get an infection or something like that, they'll go to the doctor, they'll get the penicillin or the amoxicillin or something like that, and not really many people actually go through the whole 10-day course that is, you know, recommended by the doctors. So you always end up with, like, you know, 10 or 12 pills or whatever left over after you've given up on it all and said, nope, I'm done, I'm not taking it anymore. You know, you could take those antibiotics and put them into, you know, a larger bottle and seal it up really well and put that into your first aid kit, too.
But make sure you label it.
Yeah, you want to make sure to label any kind of pills or anything like that that you use, of course. But, you know, that's why I said you put it into a bottle and seal it, because then it won't get mixed up and stuff if it happens to break on the inside.
You know what would be fun is to mix up that in the first aid kit and put a bottle of Skittles in there.
Yeah.
You know, and call it pain reliever. That would be something else. Well, anyhow, you know, when you go ahead and invest in precious metals, that's good, but you have to pay your bills down and put some money aside. And if you can't invest in precious metals, then what you want to do really is start building up your food. And you need to do that. Also have water and ways to preserve water and purify water and store it. You know, and it's part of being prepared, because as we've seen this last week, we take a look at a lot of stuff with the markets. I mean, the drop, what was it, 1,700 points in one day?
Yeah,
and then it comes
right
back up
there.
300 here and 300 there. And they said that's just going to be an adjustment. And a lot of people started to panic over that. And that's just an adjustment. What happens if we have a crash? That's the scary part. What happens to cryptocurrencies if there's a crash? Can you spend cryptocurrency? Maybe not. And that's scary too. Now, there was an article from Kana Nishizawa. I'll say that right. Nishizawa. And it's from Goldman. It says, get ready for most cryptocurrencies to hit zero, says Goldman. And they said the tumble in cryptocurrencies that erased nearly $500 billion of market value over the past month could get a lot worse, according to Goldman Sachs Group's global head of investment research. And most digital currencies are unlikely to survive in their current form, and investors should prepare for coins to lose all their value as they're replaced by a small set of future competitors. And that was according to Goldman's Steve Strongin, Strongin. And that was in a report dated February 5th. And while he didn't really propose a time frame for losses in existing coins, he said, you know, recent price swings indicated a bubble, and that the tendency for different tokens to move in lockstep wasn't rational for a few winners to take most market. And, you know, we had several weeks ago, didn't we talk about Bank of America saying, oh, there's going to be a problem with the markets?
Yep.
And then J.P. Morgan Chase said the same thing. And guess what? A couple weeks later, boom, we get our adjustment. Do you think that was rigged, Ira?
Oh, I absolutely do, yeah.
It's scary. It really is. And so, you know, here you have one day you have Bitcoin, and then all of a sudden, nothing. Why? Because the banks took control of it, or the government took control. And today there was an article from Molly Jane Zuckerman from the Cointelegraph. And she said Japanese crypto investors to pay tax of up to 55% on profits. Now, the Japanese National Tax Agency had already ruled last year that capital gains on transactions of virtual currency are considered miscellaneous income. And the tax on cryptocurrency profits is higher than around the 20% tax levied on profits from stocks and foreign currencies, with the higher percentage tax applying to those who earn more than 40 million yen a year. Gee, what's 40 million yen? Well, it's about $367,600. And according to Bloomberg.com, around 40% of Bitcoin or BTC trading recently has been against the yen, meaning the country will receive a large revenue from taxing cryptocurrencies. Maybe the U.S. will do the same thing. And in that article, it said the U.S. Internal Revenue Service, better known as the IRS, also reported today that they have created a 10-person team of investigators aimed at tracking down crypto users that failed to report their profits in their tax declarations. It's all about control, gang. That's what I've been telling you. It's all about control. The government wants to control as much as they control. And you have to be able to limit what they control. And during our ex-POTUS years, the last 8 years, they try to control a lot. And hopefully now we have less control over what we do. And, you know, we talked about our good buddy Wells Fargo. And you have more exposure to Wells Fargo where you're at, Ira.
Yeah.
It's a bank you love to hate, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, get in line, right? We don't have very many here in Ohio. And maybe that's a good thing. Now, I'm not knocking the people that work there, okay? But the higher you go, you kind of wonder what's going on. And, you know, they had that deal where they were kind of opening up accounts, other accounts for their customers, and the customers didn't know about those accounts. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe rigging some things. And as a result of that, according to Reuters and an article from Pete Schroeder and Lauren Terra LaCapra, they said the Fed orders Wells Fargo to halt growth over compliance issues. Said Wells Fargo and Company detailed new regulatory restriction imposed by the U.S. Federal Reserve on Friday that sent its shares down sharply in after-hours trading as the third largest U.S. bank continues to reel from a sales scandal that erupted in 2016. And the report says Wells is not allowed to grow beyond the $1.95 trillion in assets that it had at the end of last year until it sufficiently improves its governance and controls. I can just see Wells saying, okay, we'll behave. We promise we'll behave. And then something else happens. And nobody goes to jail. I mean, in some countries, the heads of the banks go to jail over this, or the people that are caught trading, like in the LIBOR scandal, they go to jail. Sometimes they're found with headaches, hanging off a bridge, jumping off the top of a building, learning how to fly, you name it. Because some people really get annoyed at some of the things that the banks do. And I think what needs to happen is that, you know, we have a Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And I think what needs to happen is they hold the bank's feet to the fire and just tell them, hey, you're not going to grow. And besides that, we're going to send an auditing team in there. We're going to audit the bank and we're going to take a look at everything illegal that you've done. And we're going to have some accountability there and some officers are going to go to jail. And I think when that happens, things will start to get better. Now, in Zero Hedge today, if you want to take a look at their website, They said the risk is more severe than we previously expected. S&P downgrades Wells Fargo. And they had the full report there. And they were downgraded from A- to A-2, from A to A-1 on prolonged regulatory and governance issues. They're saying, well, they're stable, but we're going to downgrade them. Well, I would say downgrade them even more. Sometimes I have to wonder about the big banks. Should you really be in a big bank? Why not go to a credit union and invest in a credit union? You control what the credit union does because you're a shareholder there. And generally, you get better rates. And if you go to moneyandchange.weebly.com and you go to the National Debt Bank and Currency Information page, you can check out your bank at bankrate.com. And it's a good thing to do. Check out your bank. If you're not banking with a four-star bank at minimum, then I'd be looking to change banks. Also, I've been doing a lot of reading this week, and a lot of pundits out there, either self-proclaimed or real economists, are kind of pointing to the way that, okay, only keep as much money in the bank as you need to pay your bills. Put the money elsewhere, whether you put it in your backyard buried or in a safe in your house or someplace. They're saying get the money out of the banks and only keep as much in there as you want. Now, I'm not going to recommend that because I want you to do your own research. But I'm just telling you what's been suggested, because you never know. We could have a crash in 2 to 3 months. Remember what Bank of America projected and JP Morgan Chase projected, and a couple weeks later it actually happened. So be attuned. Listen to Money and Change. Go to the moneyandchange.weebly.com website. Check us out. We'll try to keep everybody as current as we can. Now, also, something happened with Zero Hedge and Tyler Durden. It's got to be a staff writer. I would love to meet the staff writers there. But they had a report this week about big banks punish savers with pathetic interest rates despite Fed hikes. It said big banks such as JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, and Bank of America have been shafting depositors with terrible interest rates, refusing to keep pace with the Federal Reserve's rate hikes. And JP Morgan, for example, has only raised its average deposit rate by basically 0.21 of a percentage point, despite the Federal Reserve's raising rates by 1.25% over the same time period. And this trend is so remarkable that analysts at Goldman Sachs Group and a rival Wall Street firm with a comparatively tiny banking franchise published a report on the matter, noting that rates on savings were virtually untouched in 2017 as banks charged fatter payments on loans and other assets whose rates jumped along with the Fed's increases. So what does that tell you? If you're not making money on interest at the bank, then why keep your money in that bank? Shop around. Some of them are only going to give you 0.5%. Some may give you 1%. And then they turn around and make more money off of your money. Is that a good thing to have? You know, you just have to check this stuff out. And, you know, they'll say, well, we're going to give you a good deal. Well, if you take a look at Citibank, 1.55%, minimum balance is $100. Goldman Sachs USA, 1.5%. American Express, 1.45%. Wells Fargo. Now, here's Wells Fargo. 0.01%, and you have to have $25 in there. Makes me not want to put any money in Wells Fargo. How about Bank of America? 0.03%. You have to have $100 in there. Do you want to keep your money in a bank like that? I don't think so. But that's only my thoughts. You take a look at the markets, and Adam Taggart from peakprosperity.com had an article. He said, red screen at morning, investor take warning. And he said, when you grow up in a coastal New England town, this old rhyme was drilled into children. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky at morning, sailor take warning. And it generally holds true. Because many of the people in a small town still make their living on the sea, being in New England, the safety of the person and property depended on being able to recognize the signs of approaching danger. And a red sky in the morning is usually due to sunrise reflection off moisture-bearing clouds, signifying storms on the way. Also, wind and rough seas. And those who ignored a red sky warning often did so at their own peril. So what does that have to do with the markets? Well, you know, you remind yourself of that rhyme. And you take a look at how the traders work. And markets, you know, last week they plunged almost over 8%, and the losses were across the board. Nearly every asset class, from stocks to bonds to commodities to real estate, are participating in the pain. And the market displays a sea of red. And there's a dangerous level of overvaluation in asset prices caused by years of central banking intervention.
It totally sounds like a wrestling phrase there. Participate what? In the pain.
Oh, yeah. Participate in the pain. And it's, you take an 8% drop. Yeah, it's across the board. Everybody takes the pain. But why did it get that bad? You had the Fed that was printing money like it was going out of style. And that increases the circulation of money, but it also cheapens the value of the dollar. And what do you have? You're going to have inflation out of that. It's going to happen. And what we saw was the beginning of a major correction. And that correction, according to the report, clears out all excessive exuberance, all the happiness that happened in 2001 and 2008. And they said they could be experiencing a retraction down past a 50-month moving average that would put the S&P somewhere around 1,500 to 1,600, which is a drop of about 40% from where it just closed. So according to the report, they're saying it's time to batten down the hatches. And Ira, we've been talking about this for how many weeks?
Oh, so many.
Yeah. And, you know, the research that I do, I keep looking at this stuff, and it's not getting any better. And they say, but the money in the markets, they're way up there. Yeah, 25,000. And then they drop 1,700. Everybody goes into a full panic. It's going to drop more. We have bubbles that are the housing bubble. We have automobile bubbles. We have the student loan bubbles. We probably have bubbles on bubbles. And it's scary. And if one of them pops, things get shaky. Two of them pop, it gets real shaky. And look at all the defaults that are on student loans. It's scary. Everything starts to pop. We're in a world of hurt, and you better be prepared. And that's why we have moneyandchange.weebly.com. You know, I do the research, and I don't charge anybody anything for this. I just want to help people prepare so that they're not caught off guard. And according to the article, it says time to batten down the hatches. And they said when the storm arrives at sea, you know, the sailors hunker down. They tie fast and stow everything they can. And that's an excellent model for everyday's investors. If this week's plunge indeed accelerates into a bear market, simply surviving the carnage with a substantial percentage of your capital intact will constitute winning. So if you have long positions in your personal or retirement portfolios, what should you do? Well, The report suggesting move to cash. Get your money to the sidelines. Remember that everything is relative during periods of extreme volatility like now. And when everything around you is dropping in value, the relative value of your cash position rises. So those who had already moved to cash flow now find that they can buy 7% more of the S&P with it than they could a mere week ago because the value went down. You always buy low and sell high. Cash is also offering an improving absolute return as well these days as interest rates rise. Not that you'll know it from your bank and what they're offering you, but you want to check into it. Holding your cash in short-term T-bills, treasury bills, durations less than a year, through a program like Treasury Direct is now returning yields of close to 1.5%. And in some cases with the banks, according to the report, it's 25 to 50% times more than the average bank savings account. It might be a good deal. The second thing is prepare your action plan. Talk to your financial advisor. If you don't have any and you just don't make that much money, watch how you spend your money. You might want to check out ClarkHoward.com. Go to moneyandchange.weebly.com. We've got suggestions there. And the third thing is you want to track the risks and opportunities very, very closely. It's getting scary out there. And if you're not prepared, one of these days there's going to be a crash. One of these days your ATM is not going to have any money in it. One of these days your credit card's not going to be any good. One of these days you're going to have to pay cash for everything. And one of these days there's not going to be much cash to go around. If you think I'm kidding, go back to the 1929 crash. Take a look at what people did there. Well, you know, we talked about Illinois in the past. Now they've got a privilege tax bill in the works, according to Mark Glennon from wirepoints.com. And he said, undeterred by national ridicule heaped on Illinois last year, State House Democrats are pushing again for the passage of a privilege tax on investment managers. And they want to impose a 20% tax in addition to all other taxes on fees that are based on capital gains. And it would push all those firms out immediately and decimate the financial and tech communities, which are among the few sectors thriving in Illinois. Illinois is in bad shape. Their pension system's in bad shape. People are leaving Illinois. You take a look at a lot of states, even California. You know, I saw a guy riding a bike through Los Angeles in some parts, and it was nothing but tent cities, homeless people. There were people downtown that were homeless. I can't figure that out. I mean, there are jobs out there. And the welfare system out there is just it's out of sight. Part of that is due to the way the Democrats run a state. It happened in Illinois. It's happened in Massachusetts. Take a look at Rhode Island, the future of Social Security. Simon Black at Sovereign Man. He said the United States Courts of Appeal for the First Circuit gave us an interesting glimpse of the future last week when it ruled on an obscure case involving government pension obligation. Said ever since the mid-1990s, police officers and firefighters in the town of Cranston, Rhode Island, had been promised state pension benefits on retirement, but facing critical budget shortfalls over the last several years, that the Rhode Island government basically said we're in physical peril, the state legislature voted to unilaterally reduce public employees' pension benefits. And even more, those cuts were retroactive and they just didn't apply to new employees. So naturally, a number of the municipal employee unions have sued. And the case of Cranston's police and firefighter unions made it all the way to federal court. And the union's argument was that the government of Rhode Island was contractually bound to pay benefits. And these benefits had been enshrined in a longstanding state legislation, and they should be enforced. And the state government disagreed. And in their view, the legislature should be able to change laws even retroactively whenever it suits them. Do we see it in the major headlines? No. But you have to take close attention to the obscure court cases because they can set dangerous precedents. You know, the state government in Ohio could go back on my pension.
Yeah, I was going to say, pay attention to those court cases because if you don't, I'm telling you, the ones that are out there that want to make the changes, they most certainly are.
Yeah. And chances are they're in the Democratic states anyhow. And you take a look at the way that the states are run, you know, New York, Massachusetts, and et cetera, you know, California. They have a lot of bad problems. Why? Because they promise too much and they don't have the tax base to provide it. And it's scary. And Carl Icahn was saying, you know, a market earthquake is going to come. And a lot of people will pay the price like in 1929. That was in Zero Hedge this week. And he said, this is something we've never seen before. I don't remember ever seeing a market with this kind of volatility over 2 weeks. And the market's become such a more dangerous place due to index funds and EFTs. It's scary. It's like 2008 where everyone was buying mortgages and CDs. And passive investing is the bubble right now, and it's going to be a major, major correction. Hey, if it is, we're all in trouble. And is the world turning upside down? We won't know. We'll have to check into that. We'll have to check into the banks. I think we'll bring that up next week. But Ira, you know, you wanted to talk about those Tide gel packs.
Yeah, speaking of things that are insane and turning the world around and being in a lot of trouble, you kind of segued me there perfectly, Stu. I have to say how much I appreciate that. So here's the thing. As many people might be aware, there are these different challenges that are out there on the internet, especially on YouTube, but they're everywhere. You'll find them on Reddit. You'll find them on YouTube. You'll find them on Twitter, you know, all different kinds of places. They have these challenges that they try to make people do in order to get views, get popular, so on and so forth. Well, one of the newest crazes is the Tide Pod Challenge, and the Tide Pod Challenge is where you take these, it's a new product from Tide. You know, you take these little self-encapsulated detergent pods, you know, and you normally would throw them into the washing machine when you go to wash your clothes, and it would dissolve in the washer and just, you know, automatically put the right amount of detergent into the water and so on and so forth. Well, the newest craze basically is the Tide Pod Challenge, where you take one of these Tide Pods, you put it into your mouth, and you bite down on it in an attempt to not throw up, not spit it back out, you know, eat as much of it as you possibly can before you reach that stage. Videotape the whole thing and put it onto YouTube or Twitter or wherever. So number one, how absolutely stupid of a person do you have to be to look at a Tide Pod filled with detergent and think, boy, that looks delicious. I think I'm going to eat it. you got to be a little bit mentally challenged, I think, to even to accept that sort of situation going on. But then, you know, top on top of it, that it's become such a craze that lawmakers are now trying to push through legislation to pressure Tide to change the appearance of the Tide Pods to make them look less appealing to eat.
I know how to take care of that. I have a solution. And we talked about it before the show. The perfect color for the pods. Make them all brown. Because nobody will want to eat them And when they do, they're going to go, oh, God, this tastes like crap.
Yep, indeed. This whole Tide Pod Challenge thing, by the way, has reached the point where stores are now putting these Tide Pods behind cages so that the teenagers and whatever can't just go in, grab them, and walk out.
I mean, that's crazy. Yeah, I mean,
it's insanity.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, there's always going to be some type of a dare or something out there.
Sure.
And,
well, you know, one of the newer ones is called the Hot Coil Challenge. I don't know if you've heard about that one. Have you?
No, that's a new one on me.
So the Hot Coil Challenge is where you take an electric stove, you turn on the burner until it gets red hot, and then you stick your forearm down onto it and make yourself hold it on there as long as you possibly can.
People that do that do not have a brain. I witnessed that when I was working, when I was going to college. I worked in a factory where they made heating and air conditioning units for factories. And these were big, big units. Matter of fact, they had 50 horsepower electric engines that you could saddle like a horse and ride these things. Man, they were heavy. But anyhow, during break, the welders used to take a lighted cigarette and put their arms together and then drop a cigarette in between. The first one that would move away, you know, would have to buy the beer that night after work.
Right.
Yeah. And I thought, this is stupid. You know, and I'm thinking, these guys probably had an IQ of 2. They could run a welding stick and do fantastic construction work, but they were nuts.
Well, you know, the Hot Coil Challenge, it always reminds me of this, like the thing that first came to my mind when I ran across it was, my parents always taught me to not put my hand on a hot stove. Did these guys not have parents to do that? And the second thing that goes through my head when it comes to all of these different challenges and stupidity that's out there is, the generation that's doing this kind of stuff primarily is the one that's going to be running the world here in the next 10 to 15 years. That's a scary thing. That's really disturbing to me because is that what the world is going to devolve into over the next 40 years or so? We're going to have
it's a product of our education system. Okay. Common sense and stupidity. They don't teach common sense, and therefore the only thing that comes out is stupidity. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
It really does have a lot to do with that. You know, I think there's this sort of mentality that goes with a lot of people in the generation too of, you know, nothing. It's like that immortal thing, you know, nothing can hurt me. Nothing. I'm not worried about it. Nothing's going to stop me from doing what I want to do. And you know, thumbing their nose basically at the authority, and you know that kind of thing has always been in existence. I mean, the generation coming up always has to thumb its nose at the generation that came before because, you know, in order to flourish and grow, they have to sort of spread their own wings and fly in their own directions. I mean, that's how we get progress, right? But it seems like at this point in time, we're actually devolving, you know, backwards away from some kind of progress forward because of, I don't know, different things. I mean, maybe it's a product of the educational system in and of itself. You know, again, like you mentioned, they're not teaching logic. It's like, you know, when it comes to the educational system, I've talked about this on my show, Open Eyes, before. The education system, there seem to be two different tiers of it. You know, there's the general population education system that's just there to train people to work at Walmart and McDonald's. You know, I mean, that's really all that they're concerned about is to train the next generation of workers, you know, people that can be able to push the buttons, and that's about it, you know. And then you have the other section of the education system that is there to train the leaders of the next generation. And they are definitely taught, you know, self-resilience, self-determination, common sense, and critical thinking skills, as opposed to, again, the ones that are in the general population.
Well, and that's why on this show we talk a lot about finance. And I think some very good common sense things that hopefully people you know, listen and take heed, as the saying goes. But, you know, a lot of stuff that goes on in today's society, and some people just don't think. Some people listen to the mainstream media, or the MSM, as a lot of people call it. They don't listen to a lot of alternative shows. I wouldn't say that this is an alternative show, but we try to put facts and good news out there, and hopefully with the Money and Change .weebly.com website, it will help some people out. And, you know, I know we're running a little bit short on time, but, you know, we have the February Preppers to-do list is posted back in the Prepping You list section on that page. Things, and we've been doing this for about the last 3 months, you know, and it's learning how to do things like practice shooting a bow and arrow, take a gun safety course, try a new recipe, you know, from freeze-dried foods. Take something you have to make from scratch. Learn how to improve on doing different things. Learn how to operate and care for a generator. Label your breaker box. That's simple. Understand how to care for and shoot a gun. Know how to jump a car. Have you ever jumped a car?
Oh, many times, yeah.
You know, I tried it the other day after reading this, and I could only get on top of the hood. I could never make it all the way back to the trunk.
You know, when we reach our age, it's a little bit more difficult.
I'm
at the stage now where I get football injuries in my sleep. So,
So you know, anyhow, that's check out moneyandchange.weebly.com. There's a lot of information there. And, you know, we always talk a little bit at the end about money and change in the humor section. And, you know, there was one Sister Mary Ann who worked for a home health agency was out making her rounds visiting homebound patients when she ran out of gas. And as luck would have it, a Valero gasoline station was just a block away. And she walked to the station to borrow a gas can and buy some gas. But the attendant said, hey, the only gas can he owned had been loaned out. And she could wait until it was returned. And Sister Mary Ann said, well, she was on the way to see a patient. And she couldn't wait, so she walked back to her car, and she looked for something in her car that could fill with gas and spotted a bedpan she was taking to the patient. Well, you know, being always resourceful, Sister Mary Ann carried the bedpan to the station, filled it with gasoline, carried it back to the car, and she was pouring it into her gas tank. Two Baptists watched from across the street. And one of them turned to the other and said, if it starts, I'm turning Catholic. And with that, that's all I've got. Hey, wait a minute. We have something happening this week.
That would be Valentine's Day, right?
Valentine's Day. Oh, my God. If we forget that, we're in trouble. Oh, my God. You don't want to do, and do not get a wristband or a watch or something for your beloved one and only put "to the one I love" on it. Because there was a guy that did that one time, and the jeweler said, well, why don't you put the name? He says, well, I can use it over and over if I dump my women.
There you go.
And so that's a good thought. Well, anyhow, that's all I've got for Money and Change this week. Have a good Valentine's Day. And for those living in Findlay, Ohio, root on the Oilers. They've only lost 3 games this season. They're now rated number 15th in the country. Fantastic basketball, fantastic university, fantastic professors. I'm just telling you that right now. But, you know, we donate our time for the show. Please donate to keep the show on the air. I don't take any money for it. I don't want any money. I want to help people. And the money that goes into the show and to L&M Radio Network and Open Eyes Network, it pays for the internet service provider and the time on the air bandwidth and everything else. So please donate to keep the show on the air. And also listen to us on WCET FM 101.7 in Columbia, South Carolina. And with that, have a good week.
Sounds great, Stu. Well, we're going to go over by about a minute or so here. I'm going to be playing a little audio just to exemplify the way that it seems like the American youth are going. Have a great week, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Hey, everyone. So I was chatting on AIM with this guy. Supposedly he was from England, and I speak fluent American, so there's a bit of a language barrier, but he knew really good English. Ow, stop biting my toe. So, I was talking to him about, like, this game I wanted, because I was hoping he'd buy it for me, and it was The Sims 3 Generations, and I really wanted that expansion pack for my Sims game, and he said supposedly he wanted it too, and, I'm like, well, why don't you get it? And he's like, because it's too much. I'm like, well, how much is it? He's like, it's £15. So apparently there's a bit of a language barrier there because I asked him how much it costs, not how much it weighs. So a bit of a language barrier. We went over that jump. But the thing I'm wondering is, why does it weigh so much? That's what's confusing to me. Like, does it have to do with where England is located? Like, is it because it's like, I don't even know. Because, like, maybe it's, like, really close to Jupiter. So, like, if you know the solar system, America is, like, in the middle. And, England is, like, it's the closest to the sun, I think. So maybe there's a possibility that, there's a difference in, like, gravity or something. So, like, 15 pounds is actually really light in England. It's just so confusing. I'm not good with planets, but I think that might be it. All right, bye everyone.